It's gonna be scary. Not for us.
All engine running. Liftoff.
To Hart on Thompson, steps right, shoots for the win of three. He got it! He got it!
This ain't my first rodeo.
Westbrook to the basket. Turns Schroeder around. Russell Westbrook.
House the three and the lead. You betcha.
Covington, biggest shot of the game, and he hits it. The corner.
PJ Tucker.
Gordon by
Gordon Ranch.
It's time to accomplish something together that we haven't accomplished before.
We both understand that we have one common goal, and that's to win a championship, so.
Let's get it.
Scrimmage number two in the books, and this one came out as a W. What's up, and welcome to another episode of Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by RockAuto.com. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. As always, I'm your host, Jackson Gatlin. You can catch me on Twitter at JT Gatlin. And of course, you can also find our show on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. And if you appreciate what we do here at Locked On Rockets, if you're a first time listener, if you've been a long time listener of the podcast and haven't for some reason already done it, do me a favor. Hit the subscribe button on iTunes or Spotify. Drop us a review. Leave us some stars. I would sincerely appreciate it. So the Rockets come away with the W in their second scrimmage game against the Memphis Grizzlies, 119-104. And this really felt like a traditional Rockets basketball game. And I don't say that in a positive, with any kind of a positive connotation. And here's why. It's because they had an abysmal third quarter. They came out and dropped just 20 points in the third quarter, outscored 37-20 in that third frame. And it really looked like the game was almost slipping away from them as they rolled into the fourth quarter. But luckily, we didn't get a fourth quarter where James Harden was benched. We did get Russell Westbrook for a bit of the second half action. So this felt a little bit more like a regular Rockets game. And instead of watching the game slip away, the Rockets had an explosive fourth quarter, outscored the Grizzlies 40-17. It's the lowest scoring quarter of the four for the Memphis Grizzlies. And by and large, it really looked like they just kind of turned the jets on there in that final frame and kind of buried the Grizzlies. So there are a few kind of points that I want to get on from this game. We'll also hear some of the post-game audio from Mike D'Antoni, Ben McLemore, and James Harden themselves. So we'll get on that in the second segment. But some of the main points I want to hit on first here is... So one thing, let's go, who do I want to hit on first? All right, let's go just in general, kind of broad first, kind of broad strokes. We'll go Harden and Westbrook and then the defense first. So first thing, we'll start with Harden, the good stuff. So Harden looks, by and large, he looks like himself. He looks like he's ready to roll back into action. He's had two great games so far. I was a bit concerned in this one a little early on. He had like three or four turnovers really early in this one. And frankly, it's because Dylan Brooks is one of the guys in the league that, you know, I guess he looks at the calendar, and when he sees that it's the Rockets, he circles that date and he's, you know, oh, that's James Harden. I'm definitely showing up for this game. And, you know, he plays James Harden as well as anybody else in the association, just constantly getting into his body, you know, maybe to a point where it's possible that Harden didn't even think Dylan Brooks was going to go this hard in like a scrimmage game and wasn't kind of expecting that level of engagement or energy from the tip. So, you know, I do think that maybe Harden was a little flustered earlier on in this one because he had three or four really early turnovers by like the end of the first quarter, I want to say it was, and kind of regained his composure there a little bit down the line. He did finish the night 31 points, had 9 assists, 8 boards, still 7 turnovers for the entire game, so you'd like to see him cut down on those numbers quite a bit. Had a couple steals, had a block. He was a plus 15 on the evening, 5 of 9 from behind the arc. Just what else do you want from James Harden other than, you know, maybe cut down on the turnovers a little bit, but he had some great defensive plays out of the post. Just everything that you want out of your franchise guy. Now for Russell Westbrook, bit of a really bumpy game for him. I think he missed his first 8 shots and finally got one to fall on his 9th shot attempt. But just 3 of 14 for the evening, 21% from the floor, missed both 3-pointers he took. Russ had, you know, 5 turnovers, 5 assists, 6 boards. Just got 26 minutes of action, so this is up from his 15 minutes of action in the very first scrimmage where he just played the first half. But I think it's important to think about with Russ is that he just got back from his 2-week, COVIDcation, right? And he has only had, a handful of practices under his belt. In fact, just because the Rockets didn't practice Saturday, so he's only had 2 practices and 1 scrimmage under his belt going into this game. And I still think with him, the goal, the bar for him is just he's healthy. And I think that's the important part. And when you look back at the beginning of this season as they were trying to integrate Russell Westbrook, he came in off of a summer where, about the same amount of time where he didn't play any 5-on-5 basketball because of the knee scope, and then came back in and, was really trying to work his way into the system and a brand new team and everything. Now, he's not trying to work his way into a brand new team this time, but it's still the same concept of, no 5-on-5 play for an extended period of time. And maybe that, hurts more certain players more than other players. Maybe Russ is a guy that just really needs to get his feel for the game by consistently playing, every other day or, just multiple games a week, multiple 5-on-5 sessions, practice sessions, all that stuff. So maybe it's just going to take a little bit longer for him to knock the rust off than it will for James. And again, I'm not super worried about him because I do think the bar is just, is he healthy? He is great. And so far he's looked healthy, maybe a little bit less explosive, or maybe he doesn't trust his level of explosion as much as he should. But by and large, he looks healthy. And yeah, he had a really bad game. Yeah, some of the shot selection was less than ideal. But I'm not going to hold that against him because, look, it's a scrimmage game. This is a team of veterans. And is Russ, do I expect Russ to drive it to the rack every possession of a scrimmage game that doesn't count at all? Am I even going to expect him to do that in the 8 seeding games? Probably not. Look, there's going to be some possessions where he decides to not take that physical toll on his body by driving to the paint and, bouncing off of bigs and stuff, trying to score right at the rim, and he's going to want to take a couple middies. He's going to settle for a wide open 3-pointer every now and again. That's okay. It's not the absolute end of the world. So for all the Rockets fans, for everybody who is panicking about Russell Westbrook's performance, please keep it in mind. It's just a scrimmage game, and it's literally his 4th outing, 2 practices, 1 15-minute scrimmage. That's all he has under his belt since recovering from COVID. Give the man some time. He is an MVP caliber player. He will find his way back. I don't think now if the efficient Russ from the 2 months prior to the hiatus of the season, if we didn't have that large sample size to pick from, I would be a bit more concerned about these numbers. But he was efficient Russ for 2 months of the season. That's not a fluke. That wasn't an accident. The lack of shooting three, the active decision to stop shooting threes and to focus more on the efficient level of basketball that we came to know from him before the hiatus, that's not an accident. And I'm sure he'll get back to that point. Just give the man a little bit of time. Don't be overreactionary right now, okay? That's all I'm asking. So, and then the last guy that I want to hit on, or the last thing I want to hit on in this first segment before we hear the post-game audio and then wrap things up in the third segment, just the defense in general. And this is going to be the area where, again, these games, these scrimmages don't mean anything right now. And so it's kind of hard to expect this group of veteran guys to give it their all every single possession of a scrimmage. That being said, the transition defense continues to be a bit worrisome. And somebody pointed this out on the timeline during the game. And it's something that, I feel like most people understand when they're watching the game, but maybe haven't completely internalized. And that's the fact that a lot of times, especially when it's Russ or James, when they are attempting a drive, if they don't make the basket, if it's a missed layup or something, it tends to turn into a 5-on-4 fast break for the opposing team because Russ and James are a bit lackadaisical about getting back on defense, especially in transition. And a lot of times those two guys will just pick up whoever the trailing opposing team player is, even regardless of, if the center is the last guy trailing for the opposing team, then Russ or James is just like, yep, I got him, I'm checking him. And sometimes that leads to, especially if all 5 of the opposing team are sprinting on the fast break trying to get an easy bucket, then and they're not sprinting back on defense, it can cause problems in transition. And we've seen some of that last night. We saw them fail to pick up the ball handler numerous times against the Grizzlies, watching Kyle Anderson, of all people, slow-mo go coast to coast and drive it in on Jeff Green, situations like that where it's just somebody needs to pick up the ball handler earlier in transition. If you stop the ball, you can, you know, at least cause some problems for the fast break. But a lot of times you watch the Rockets defense and they don't even stop the ball until it's at their 3-point line or even at their free throw line. And by then, if you're giving them free range of, you know, 80% of the court, you're making it really easy for them to set up a play for somebody else or, you know, score the ball themselves, whoever's handling the basketball. And I just think that that transition defense is an area that we're going to continue to harp on until we see some, you know, noticeable improvement, because their half court defense is good. And that's what's so frustrating, is their half court defense is solid. It's just about the energy and effort and want to actually pick up and stop opposing teams in transition. So I just wanted to hit on that a little bit, because that is a problem area that has been a problem area and continues to be a problem area. And until we see it fixed, I'm not going to stop talking about it, because it needs to be fixed or this team is going nowhere in the playoffs. So just wanted to hammer those segments out. In the final segment, I do want to talk about Damari Carroll, as well as the explosive games from both Jeff Green and Ben McLemore. So three guys off the bench who I feel like did make an impact in this one. So we'll talk about that in the third segment. And coming up here in just a moment, we'll get the postgame audio from Mike D'Antoni, Ben McLemore, and James Harden after a quick word from our friends over at rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, it is now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why endure the often pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning like, is your car an LX or an EX? And then you have to wait while the person goes behind the counter to order the parts off their computer, only choosing the brand that their warehouse just happens to carry. You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. And look, you know, rockauto.com, they have everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even brand new carpet. So whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, you can get everything you need in just a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you want to spend twice as much for the exact same parts? So go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. And be sure to write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. RockAuto.com. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, talking about the Rockets win over the Memphis Grizzlies, their second scrimmage game of their three scrimmage games, with the remaining one coming Tuesday evening against the Boston Celtics before starting up those eight seeding games leading into the NBA playoffs. So let's go ahead and hear from Mike D'Antoni, Ben McLemore, and James Harden. We'll get all of their audio back to back to back, because they had some pretty quick hitting post game pressers. So here we go.
Well, Mike, you obviously decided to play it out with most of your regulars the rest of the way. What was the value in getting that kind of game experience before things start for real Friday?
Oh, it was good, obviously. And I tried to take James out about 4 minutes ago, but he wouldn't have anything to do with it. He wanted to play and win, and that's the type of person he is. That's why it makes him such a competitor. And then we wanted to try to get going, get our legs. It's a great practice, and it's a great way to get guys ready for Friday.
Were you happy with, I guess, overall, I mean, putting aside shots falling or not falling, just in terms of doing the things that you get done?
You know, there's a lot of good things. When we do it right, it looks really good, and people, you know, have a hard time with it. When we're a step slow, then we're going to get beat. And I think that'll come with our conditioning, but also mentally just being tough enough to be called a champion. And that's what we have been striving and stressing, and it's what we got to do. We got to become champions, and champions is with a heart and a head. And that's where it starts.
Saman Ali.
Hey, Mike, what did you think of what Jeff Green gave you guys tonight? And can you see him being a contributor for you in the playoffs?
Oh, yeah. No, Jeff's going to play. Jeff's a heck of a basketball player. He and Ben tonight played unbelievably great. I guess we'll have a discussion next pregame about who should start between Ben and somebody else. I don't know. But, they're going to contribute. They're good. They're really, they play well. They make shots. They know how to play. I've been really, last three weeks, I guess, since we've been practicing, they've been great.
Michael Shapiro.
Hey, Coach, what did you think of James Harden's defensive performance tonight, especially in the fourth quarter, you know, once PJ and Robert, they had that foul trouble, he really seemed to battle in the post pretty well.
Yeah, just whatever we need. You know, again, I think he's very underrated as a defensive player, just because they like to highlight sometimes when he's played 40 minutes in a row, getting beat the hell out of him, and then he has a bad defensive possession, so they put that run clips up for about 2 weeks, but he's always been one of the best post defenders in the league. He's comes up with a big steal, one of the league leaders in steals. So, yeah, his defense is good. Smart. You can't ask for a whole lot more.
Ali Khanbhashani.
Hey, Coach. Transition defense always starts with shot selection. How would you assess your team's shot selection tonight, in relation to your transition defense?
Our shot selection is what it is, and I don't quite agree with the premise. I mean, it doesn't start with shot selection, because you're going to shoot it. I can sit in the first row, and any kind of shot goes up, if I want to get back, I'll get back. It comes from a mindset of as soon as that ball goes up. Now, bad turnovers is what it will cost you. Shots, we're going to take a lot of threes, so they know to be on their horse and get back. So that's one of our weaknesses, that we mentally just sometimes don't run back like we should and pick up. But those are things we're trying to work on.
Thank you, Coach.
Yeah. And last one, Adam Spolin.
Hey, Mike. The fact that you guys were able to really raise your level in that fourth quarter when you had guys who were playing 30, 35 minutes for the first time in 4 months, does that just show where you guys are at in terms of conditioning?
Yeah, and I think this will help us. I mean, obviously, I wanted to go a few less minutes with James, and you know, Russell's right on target. And I think just the more they play, that you can practice all you want, but they don't get into game shape unless you start playing games like atmosphere. And this is why the three scrimmages are really important, and the 8 games will be important. So get them in playoff form.
First question, Jonathan Fagan.
You guys had 58 off the bench tonight. You got not a very high-scoring bench through the season. I think one of the last in the league. How important is it for this team to consistently get that kind of scoring out of you and Daniel and Jeff Green the way you did tonight?
Just coming out, just being prepared, bringing a lot of energy off the floor, and you know, giving it all out there. And like I said, the main thing is to bring the energy. That's the biggest part.
Hey, Ben, it's Kaylee. After a tough third quarter, what led to that momentum shift in the fourth?
Energy, just keeping the same energy, active on defensively, the defensive end, and obviously we started making shots. But we kept moving the ball, we kept getting stops.
Saman Ali.
Hey, Ben, you guys get Austin Rivers back soon. What does he add to that bench dynamic for you guys?
Same thing, energy. Spark off the floor, off the bench, I mean. And then the versatility, just him getting to the basket, things like that. So,
Michael Shapiro.
Hey, Ben, you know, this will be your first playoff series coming up. Do you think your ability to, you know, hit big threes and really catch fire off the bench, do you think that could have extra importance in the postseason?
Yeah, I think I have a value. Obviously, do the things that I do, run the floor, guard, and make big shots and that's my role on this team, is to continue to do that consistently each day.
And Adam Spolin.
Hey, Ben, did this game feel more like a normal NBA game than the last game did?
Obviously, definitely. They came out the gate, a lot of energy. And like I said, the second unit kind of, you know, run that spark and the energy to get us back in that lead and finish the first half strong and then take the game for the rest of the game. So,
did they come out? Was it good that they came out with more energy tonight? That basically forced y'all to do the same.
I mean that's gonna happen. Sometimes that's gonna happen, and you know we just gotta find a way to bring more energy than them, and continue to do the things we need to do offensively and defensively.
First question, Michael Shapiro.
Hey, James, you played a game high, 35 minutes tonight. Do you find it important to get kind of a heavy workload, or was it simply a matter of wanting to win the scrimmage?
Both.
You know, last game we played 10-minute quarters, you know, so I think I played like 20-some minutes. So, honestly, in regular season games and playoffs, like, the intensity is going to be much higher. So I want to kind of build that right now and kind of get that going. So, you know, when it's next week and it starts, I'm already prepared. So I just kind of wanted to push myself a little bit more and get a win.
Jonathan Fagan.
Jace, you normally, you guys play your starters a lot of minutes, get a ton of your scoring from the starters. If to get this kind of lift from the bench, 58 points off the bench tonight, what kind of difference does that make for this team, particularly with the kind of schedule that there is in the restart, the every other night schedule?
You know, D-House, Ben Mason, you know, big shot to Jeff. Our bench just play well. You know, we're going to need them throughout the course of these eight games in the postseason. You know, Cub and PJ fouled out. Russ was limited on minutes. So the bench had to step up, which is a good sign, you know, that they're able to.
Is that more of a factor when once you guys get going Friday, it's every other night just about until whenever?
Yeah, I mean, we play, Tuesday, we got a few days, and then it's go time. So we want to make sure we're well conditioned, and our communication on both ends of the ball is where it needs to be. And it'll continue to get better, you know, those regular season games. But once postseason, we can't have lapses and things like that.
Thank you.
Ali Khanbajani.
Hey, James, how would you assess your play right now when on offense? And Coach D'Antoni has talked about the added emphasis on drive and kick and being able to get open shots. How would you assess your role in making that happen?
Our role hasn't changed since I've been in Houston. Just trying to find, when to be a playmaker and when to be a scorer, which is all instincts. You know, it's all taking what the defense gives me. And then I'm confident in, everybody that's on the floor and on the bench that, to knock down a shot or being able to finish. And they know that as well. So when they're open and, they're ready to shoot, they're going to get the ball.
Saman Ali.
Hey, James. What kind of production did you expect to see from Jeff Green when you guys first signed him? And what do you think he's bringing to your team right now?
I know he was more than capable of helping us. You know, that's one of the reasons why we reached out, just because, he's able to handle the basketball. He's able to knock down shots, and he's pretty solid on defense. So he fits in what we're doing, and he's been playing well. You know, so hopefully I know he's going to be a big part of this run that we're trying to go on.
Adam Spolin.
James, it's been a long time since you played 35 minutes in a game. Just how did you think you held up?
I was all right. You know, I got a little winded, throughout the course of the game, but I think everybody was, so I just don't want to play 20 minutes in reality when this eight games come, I'm going to be playing 35 minutes, 36 minutes, then it's going to be a huge shock. So I want to kind of prepare myself. So when, next week comes, I'm ready, and, it's not a big shock on my legs or my body.
And last one, Mark Berman.
James, need to ask you one non-basketball question. Your Dash won the Challenge Cup title today. What do you think about that?
Beautiful sight, beautiful sight. Adversity, with all the, the coronavirus and everything that's been going on in the world. But for them to win the championship, it's amazing. It's the beginning stages of our winning ways. And, I'm proud of them. And, we'll continue to keep those winning ways going.
Well, what else would you like to say to the ladies about winning it all today?
No, I'm proud of him. Like I said, I'm proud of him. Celebrate, have as much fun, and then, prepare yourselves and your minds and get ready to go again.
That's going to do it for the post-game media pressers with Mike D'Antoni, Ben McLemore, and James Harden. So coming up in our final segment, we'll talk about the explosive nights from both Jeff Green and Ben McLemore off the bench, as well as a lot of the hustle and energy out of one Damari Carroll. So we'll get more on that in just one moment. And we are back in here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. So what I teased last segment, talking about these big games from Ben McLemore and Jeff Green. Ben McLemore, 26 points, Jeff Green, 18 points, both, huge contributors off the bench in this one. And I'll say it because I have to say it every single time Ben McLemore has a good game. Look, I get what he can provide offensively. And this, in my opinion, is exactly what he can be offensively. Is he's Gerald Green light is what he is. On any given night, Benny Mac and threes can go off. He can have a game where he shoots lights out from behind the arc, like in this one where he was 6 of 7. Then he can also have a game like the first scrimmage where he only hits one three-pointer out of, it was either 1 of 5 or 1 of 7 off the top of my head. And that, so his role should be, all right, he gets 5, maybe 10 minutes a night where immediately he checks in and the first 2 or 3 plays in a row should be drawn up exactly for him to try and get him some open threes off of screens or just drop a couple plays to try and get him some open looks, right? And that should be his whole role on this team. Is you bring him in, he gets a few plays drawn up specifically for him in the 5 minutes of run that he's going to get early in the game, and he either hits his shots or he doesn't. And if he's nailing every single shot he gets, then yeah, play him more time. Give him, you know, 15, 20, 25 minutes if he's got it rolling. But if he's missing all of his shots, I know that's a bit unfair because, yeah, maybe, you know, he misses his shots in the first half and he warms up and he starts hitting them in the second half. Yes. So I'm not saying he gets, you know, 3 to 5 minutes of run in the second quarter and then you just give up on him for the rest of the game. But what I am saying is there's a visible, you know, if a player has it or doesn't have it on any given night, you can tell. And this is, it's nice that we have these two games to pull from for Ben McLemore for the first two scrimmages, because this is exactly the ups and the downs of Ben McLemore that you will get. Is he wasn't hitting his three ball in the first game, and this game he couldn't miss. You know, 6 of 7 from downtown, he shot 86% from behind the arc. This is unbelievable. He is easily the best three-point shooter on the team when his shot is falling. And so when his shot is falling, you ride that wave. And they rode that wave to the tune of 26 points in this one off the bench. He was the second highest scorer for the Rockets. And then Jeff Green, the third highest scorer with 18 points. James Harden obviously leading the way with 31. Wouldn't have won this game without either of those two guys coming off the bench. So yes, Ben McLemore is a crucial part of this team and can be utilized as a, you know, three-point specialist type guy off the bench. I just don't think he should be getting, you know, significant 30-plus rotation minutes on a nightly basis because it's a bit inconsistent game to game. But if he has it one game, then yeah, you ride the hot hand and you stick with Ben McLemore. And that's what happened in this one. And we saw how that worked out. So great stuff there from Ben McLemore. And also, I will say that he hasn't looked as worrisome on defense. Still not by any means a plus defender, but it looks like he's in the right spots a bit more. So I think having this formal training camp and time to really rework and focus on the switching defense and kind of being in the right spots on the court. There's still some delays. Like whenever I watch, whenever I see like Ben McLemore and Russ and they're the two guys and they're actively like switching between defenders, you know, there always seems like a bit of hesitancy or a bit of delay whereas they're just not, it's not completely like subconscious yet in their minds about switching immediately. It's this slight delay where Ben goes, wait, am I supposed to switch? And then you see him actually like make the mental note, yes, I'm switching. And then and sometimes that half second to a second delay is all an NBA caliber player needs to make a strong drive towards the basket or get a shot off from behind the arc or whatever. And so just watch in the next game that you see, anytime Ben McLemore and Russ are the two guys involved on a switch, so just pay attention during the Celtics game, anytime those two guys are involved on a switch across two players from the opposing team, there's a bit of a delay. It's not as quick as, say, when Tucker and Rocco are switching or when Harden and Rivers are switching. There's just a bit of a delay there, and I do think that's because those are two of the weaker defenders on the team, unfortunately. So that being said, good stuff from Ben McLemore offensively and defensively. I've seen some improvement, not enough to where it's not a problem, but just a bit of improvement here and there. And he looks a little bit bigger, like in his upper body, so maybe that'll help him, you know, as far as guarding opposing wings, since he is a smaller guard himself and he has to do so much switching. Maybe that's something that he focused on during the hiatus, was adding a little bit more bulk so that he could, you know, be a little bit stronger to go up against some of those bigger wings that he has to guard. Now, our next guy that I want to talk about, Jeff Green, you know, everybody on social media, you know, other fan bases, they're constantly, you know, Jeff Green is fool's gold. He's going to disappear in the playoffs, all this. And again, these other fan bases haven't had the chance to, enjoy Jeff Green, the niche backup small ball five. And in this game specifically, you know, Jeff had, you know, a lot of great opportunities, a lot of runs at the rim. And that's the one that, you know, it's so impressive when the Rockets have a player who can kind of pump fake that three-pointer and then continue to attack the defense and keep them scrambling. But not only just attack the defense, but also finish at the rim. Jeff had some nice finishes right around the rim. He had that one, he like extended his arm out and like just completely passed the defender and just kissed the ball off the glass. It was so nice to watch that. And then had the Statue of Liberty dunk later on in the game. Just a really solid all around game from him. 18 points on 6 of 7 shooting, 3 of 4 from behind the arc. He snagged a handful of rebounds. Just, you know, his defense at times is a little questionable. Especially when he gets switched onto a smaller player and has to be out there on the perimeter against, say, like a point guard or a two guard, you know, somebody smaller and quicker than him. But in the first scrimmage against the Raptors, we saw that happen a few times, and we saw it happen a few times in this one. And I think the Rockets are doing a decent job of using like weak side defenders or help side defenders to try and cheat over away from their man when Jeff is on an island with a guard, because if you leave him on the island, he's going to get burned. And so there is a level of cheating in. And I think Daniel House Jr. especially is doing a good job of recognizing that, because the couple times that I did see Jeff on the perimeter with a smaller, faster player, it just so happened that Daniel House Jr. was kind of off in the slot guarding his man and kind of cheating over to help Jeff Green, as far as kind of maybe funneling that player towards Daniel House so that he could, you know, reach in and potentially be that help side defender. So I think it's just important that if opposing teams are hunting Green on switches, then the Rockets, who are guarding their men in the slots, have to understand that they need to be ready to cheat over and help on a drive, and they can't expect Jeff Green to go toe-to-toe with a guard because he's going to get burned every single time. That's unrealistic expectations, and if he sags too far off, then you're going to give up wide open three-pointers. So it's, you know, basketball is a chess match, and it's about making sure that you know, okay, Jeff is guarding the guard out there on the perimeter, he's on an island, we need to cheat off our men a little bit so that way he's not, you know, completely solo against this smaller, quicker player. But apart from the defense, you know, apart from that, maybe we'd like probably a little bit more rebounding out of Jeff Green. But other than that, and the you know, slight defensive liabilities, really phenomenal offensive game from him. He's just such a versatile player on that end of the basketball court. And I'm still buying stock in Jeff Green as the backup center in this system. So that kind of leads me to the last guy that I want to talk about, Damari Carroll. And it's great that, you know, I mentioned rebounding with Jeff Green. Damari Carroll played 11 minutes and pulled down 9 rebounds in 11 minutes. That is incredible. He brings so much energy to the table. He and Harden were the two leading rebounders for the team. Damari Carroll with 9, Harden with 8. And at times it can be a little, I don't want to say that it's chaotic energy, because there were some times where he grabbed a rebound and immediately looked to like take off down the court and kind of lost the handle on the ball, or you know, kind of bobbled it a little bit, and it does look a little funky. But energy is energy, man. And when you've got this veteran team where, you know, there might be some guys who are taking some plays off, to see a veteran like Damari Carroll, who isn't really taking any plays off, who is absolutely, you know, he was a plus 16. He was tied for the highest plus minus on the team with Daniel House Jr., also a plus 16. So in the minutes on the court, he was productive. 2 of his 9 rebounds were offensive. And I remember distinctly one of them, he soared in from the baseline and snagged the rebound and then kicked it back out to Jeff Green. And I think that was where Jeff got that Statue of Liberty dunk from. So just that type of hustle play wins you championships. That type of hustle play will win you games. And it doesn't show up in a stat sheet is the problem. But anybody who watches this basketball team and sees when guys are making those hustle plays, it's similar to PJ Tucker a little bit. A lot of what PJ Tucker does won't show up in a stat sheet, unfortunately. But he brings so much more to the table than just statistics and just what, you know, actually goes, you know, the numbers behind what he does on the court. You know, the little gritty defensive plays, you know, he might grab a crucial offensive rebound that actually wins you a basketball game, and it's just going to show up in the stat sheet as an offensive rebound, but the context behind the rebound and what it meant for the team doesn't actually show up if you're just looking at the numbers. So you have to actually watch the games and really get a feel for what these players are providing. And I think that if Damari Carroll can get any semblance of a consistent three-point shot going again, which he only got the one attempt, and it wasn't even an attempt that was facilitated by somebody else. He took like a really atrocious step back against whatever Memphis Grizzlies defender was there in front of him. But if he can get some semblance of a three-point shot going again, or at least get some attempts where he's actually open and the shot has been facilitated by somebody else like Harden or Westbrook or Gordon, Rivers, whatever, maybe you know, point forward Jeff Green or point big man Jeff Green, I do think that if he can shoot probably about 35% from behind the arc, there is zero reason why he shouldn't be playing because, again, his defensive IQ off the charts, his rebounding ability, his hustle, he is a guy that will help you along the path to winning a championship, and I do want to see him getting minutes moving forward. All that being said, still remains to be seen what happens with Luka Mbamute. We've seen him on the sidelines of both scrimmages. We haven't heard anything about him practicing with the team yet because the most recent practice that they had was Thursday. They didn't practice on Saturday, and then they had a game on Sunday, the scrimmage, so they didn't do that. So, you know, still remains to be seen what's going on with Prince Luke. If Luke comes back in and is able to be productive, then I could see him and Damari Carroll kind of fighting over some minutes, but it's a good problem to have. You know, if there's a game where Ben McLemore just doesn't have it from behind the arc, then that's when you start going bigger and you start going defense first, because you'll be able to score the ball with James Harden and Russell Westbrook. That's without a question. Those guys are absolutely going to be able to score the lights out of the rock. Now, there was a lineup that we saw out there in the game that included James Harden, Eric Gordon, Damari Carroll. Sorry, I apologize. James Harden, Damari Carroll, PJ Tucker, and Robert Covington and Jeff Green. So Gordon wasn't in the lineup. And that lineup, to me, was really interesting because, and Ali Kambijani highlighted this on Twitter, because it actually felt a lot like that 17-18 team where there were times where PJ Tucker, Trevor Ariza, and Luka Mbamute all shared the court at the same time. When you have three really great elite defensive, you know, 3-and-D type players on the court, and then you've got your center in Jeff Green, who at the time would have been Clint Capella, it gives you a team of four guys around James Harden who are all defensive plus players. Now, I know Jeff Green isn't necessarily a plus on the defensive side of the ball, so the similarities aren't perfect, but what it does give you is four guys around James Harden who can space the court and who are all largely plus defenders. And that was a nice lineup to watch on the court in the limited amount of time that we saw it. And I'd like to see that lineup again, you know, moving forward, because the recipe is tried and true, is put shooters and defenders around James Harden and good things will happen. And likewise, I'd like to see a similar lineup around Russell Westbrook, only with Eric Gordon included, because I do think Eric Gordon's minutes next to Russ are critical, because he's a guy who really stretches the floor a bit, you know, some extra space, a few more feet behind the three-point line for Russ. But Eric Gordon absolutely has to get his shot going. And this is kind of a throwaway here at the very end of the podcast, but the team as a whole, 22 of 51 from behind the arc for 43%. Phenomenal shooting night, even though three guys all struggled from behind the arc. So Eric Gordon, 0 of 6, PJ Tucker just 1 of 5, and then Russell Westbrook, 0 of 2, missed both of his attempts. But when you have Robert Covington shoot 3 of 6, James Harden, 5 of 9, Daniel House Jr., 3 of 10, so 30%, a bit below his average, and then Ben McLemore and Jeff Green really carrying the weight of the team, going 6 for 7 and 3 for 4 respectively, you know, the team really shot the lights out of the ball in this one, and that's not going to happen every night, but If this team shoots greater than 40% from deep, they're going to be absolutely almost unstoppable. And that's what we saw. We saw the barrage of three-pointers in the fourth quarter, which is what led to the 40-17 quarter in favor of the Rockets, and that's why they were able to come away with a 15-point W. So I think that's kind of where I'm going to wrap things up for today. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to having you back right here at Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast home for everything Houston Rockets basketball.